Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we start today's episode, I'm excited to announce that Coin Corner have decided to continue their sponsorship of this podcast. If you haven't heard me talk about Coin Corner before, I spoke about them a lot during season 4 of Behind the Glass. They essentially make the world of buying and trading Bitcoin and cryptocurrency easier than ever. I'm sure lots of you have heard about Bitcoin in the news. Maybe you have friends who are constantly talking about it, or maybe you yourself are someone who buys and trades Bitcoin. Well, head over to coincorner.com/STG, because whether you're any of those people, I guarantee you'll find more information and an easier way to trade cryptocurrencies than ever before using Coin Corner. When you use that link, coincorner.com/STG, or my code STG when you sign up, you'll get some free SAT, which is sort of a very small unit of a Bitcoin. Bitcoin's value now is very high, and so therefore actually buying one whole Bitcoin fairly expensive, so you can trade SAT, smaller increments of a Bitcoin, and yes, you'll get those free when you use that link, coincorner.com/STG, or my code STG when you sign up. I realize cryptocurrency is still a controversial subject, so if you want to find out more, if you want to learn more, and if you want to get trading, head over once more to Coin Corner. Thank you to them for being back and sponsoring the episode. Let's crack on.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. For the first time in a very long time, we did start this podcast 5 minutes ago and I hadn't hit record. That hasn't happened in a long time, Tony.
But it does happen. And for someone so professional as you, I mean, can I just make sure next time? Because I wouldn't mess that up.
It's like a constant joke that Tony has, that whenever we start the podcast, he's like, are you definitely recording? Are you sure you're recording? And I'm like, it doesn't happen that often. Like, stop giving me a hard time. It's just happened.
It just happened. And as well, it does happen more than you think.
It does, yeah.
And as well, we're lucky we're only 5 minutes in, because normally we get right the way to the end and he says, ah.
We do like a 50-minute episode. I go, I didn't record.
All again.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that We're not in our usual situation, our usual setting. No. We're on our road trip.
Yes.
It threw me off. If you missed the last episode last week, you're joining Tony and I on our first big European road trip together. Well, definitely since COVID happened, but in about 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting, but it does mean that, yeah, we're a bit all over the place. Last week, we recorded in the living room, the television room of this Airbnb. A few people didn't like that. So we've moved out here to the indoor terrace.
Where our view is beautiful.
Our view is amazing. I don't think I've set up the camera that well for you to be able to enjoy the view, but the sea is just there.
Yeah. We wish you were in.
Yeah. But I feel like people are still going to be in. This is still a very awful backdrop. But we're doing the best we can. We're determined to still bring episode of this podcast to you. Of course, we're not in our usual studio settings, but we're doing what we can, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know. Keep going.
You know, it's a pleasure to see you all.
It's a pleasure to be here. We have banned Paul Wallace from this week's episode. We're a little bit fed up with him. But as Tony will quickly point out, he wouldn't be awake at this point. It's 4 p.m.
He's asleep.
Yeah, he doesn't wake up till about 5:30.
And he did actually. I think he lied to us earlier, mate, to be honest. So we all, me and Sam, went out for a drive earlier. And Paul said, okay, cool, I'm not coming for a drive, I'm going to go for a run.
I've got to do some exercise. I've got
to do some exercise, yeah, because all he's eaten all week is burgers and pizzas, basically. That's all he ever eats. Yeah. So anyway, we went for a drive, he went for a run, he says. At lunchtime, we saw him in the same clothes. Doesn't look like he'd been for a run at all, did it?
No, he looked like one of those women in California who wear, like, things called sports luxe. They're always going to yoga and they're getting a smoothie, but I don't think they ever do any exercise.
Or a coffee, but Paul Wallace doesn't drink coffee, yeah. So he hasn't been for a coffee.
He hasn't done anything. He's just been sort of walking around in this athletic attire. I've been working out in the morning. Sure, okay, fine. Well, meanwhile, we were enjoying colder Torini and beautiful Alps roads. It was good morning.
We went
out
for a lovely drive this morning.
Lovely drive this morning. I didn't even take my camera, so sorry for those fans of the main channel, but sometimes it's nice just to enjoy the drive and not be trying to capture it, because filming fast road driving, quite difficult to do.
I think impossible, mate. Because
Top Gear had a crew of 35 people.
Of course.
And 2 days to shoot that road.
And film it more than once.
Exactly. Two days. You know, they're going up and down and up. Yeah, and they've got stunt crews and everything. And so, yeah, just with a few GoPros, it doesn't always quite work out. But actually, I'm doing a video next week talking more about how to film car videos, and especially on road trips, basically how to film a road trip. Because I'm thinking lots of people are going to be heading out on road trips now. They're in and around the UK or anywhere around the world. So I want to give some tips and advice of the best.
Well done, mate.
Tips and practices. That's good. Oh, well, we'll see. Get 5K views. Anyway, we have a little bit of car news to catch up on. There's not been a ton happening. We've got a little bit of car news to catch up on. And then the main topic for today is actually a continuation of basically an argument we were having at lunch.
Oh, no.
because Monaco is popping off. It's all I'll say. Like, it's October. We arrived sort of middle of the week. And on the very first night we got here, we followed a Pagani choir through the streets of Monaco. And since then, we've seen SF90s and a Monza and a lot of Ferraris, actually. But, you know, just SVJs, loads of cars. Mm. And it sparked this sort of semi-debate of, firstly, which cars are good and which are not, which is what I want to continue. But also, you said something, which was, you thought you realised that whilst you like cars, Paul likes to film cars, I'm probably the real car lover.
I would say out of us three, you're the nerd.
I'm the nerd.
Yeah, you're the real, you're a real, real car guy. I do like cars, and I like to drive them, but I don't think I'm as enthusiastic as you.
So
sure.
We're three car guys, three petrol heads.
Yeah.
But which one is the true petrol head? Or what does it mean to be a true petrol head? That's what we're going to be revisiting. I'll let you think with it for now, because as I say, we've got some car news to touch on. So let's kick things off with the most unsurprising news of the year. Geneva cancelled for a third year
again.
In a row. No Geneva 2022.
Oh.
Big. And that, I don't think, is even really a COVID thing.
No. And do you know what, mate? We did say this when they cancelled it the first time, that actually, do you know what?
Will it ever come back?
Yeah.
Because
3 years now.
What's the need for it? You know, because I said it's not really a COVID thing, because here in Europe, restrictions are easing, you know, day by day. Things are getting theoretically better in terms of restrictions. Who knows what the winter's
going
to
be. But it is more strict in Europe still than the UK.
Yes, good point.
For sure.
Good point, for sure. But
especially here.
I don't think that they're cancelling it because of COVID reasons. They might be blaming COVID. But I think because we've touched on, I just don't think there's so much of a need. There's other events which have taken, well, the primary position in terms of launching cars, dynamically, interest-wise, audience-wise. Geneva had become more and more of a sort of trade show.
Mm.
And I don't think the demand's
there. Do you think they've gone to some of the big manufacturers and said, right, we're back next year, and the manufacturers have gone, well, actually, we're not coming.
Yeah,
I
don't fancy spending £7 million on a stand at Geneva, because that's the kind of money that it costs for some of the really big stands. It was multiple millions of pounds.
And as well, mate, as well, if they haven't got the cars to sell, which is basically what this is all about, if they haven't got the cars to sell, why do they want to set their stall out? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no.
As I say,
but I'm not at all surprised.
Me too.
Saw it coming a mile off.
Yeah.
And I say a shame, because the one thing from a real nerdy, you called me a nerd earlier, point of view is it's a great place to catch up with other car people, whether you work in this industry or not. You didn't. You bump. You're in a room full of thousands of car petrol heads, you know, car nerds, and you do bump into people that you know, or get the chance to meet new people who are enthusiastic about cars or the same cars. That's really nice, I think.
Yeah.
Because Goodwood Festival of Speed now is so big, it's more of a general public event. There's a lot of people there who don't really know anything about cars, families, and you know, so. You walk into Geneva Motor Show, you can go up to anyone and say, what do you think of the 296 GTP? And they're going to have an opinion.
Yeah, they will.
And that was always quite fun.
Even if it's just aesthetically, they're going to have an opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So from that part, it's a shame. Let's just see. They do say, we would like to reassure you that the momentum for the evolution of our platform will continue in order to bring it to its full potential in 2023. So they're suggesting that they're going to do it in a very different way, and they need more time to kind of, you know, plan that. And it says industry-wide issues relating to the COVID-19 pandemic. So maybe you hit the nail on the head there, that it's actually the manufacturers being able to supply cars or you know, have cars ready for that show. Does that mean that Porsche are going to have to launch the GT4 RS just online at some point?
Well, we were speaking about that today, and obviously what sparked it was us going out again this morning, because we always, no different to your friends, when you go out and you do something, immediately you get out of the car and you talk about cars.
It's exactly what we do. Overexcited.
I get all overexcited. Yeah.
Oh, F-Type was pretty good this morning. Just needs carbon ceramic. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, just could do with some better tyres. I said to Sam that the GT4, I think, will be mega.
The RS. Sorry.
The RS will be mega, yeah.
I'm so intrigued by it. Heavily delayed. We expected it much earlier this year, I think, the 4RS. And there was a sort of thought, okay, well, maybe they're going to hold off and do something at Geneva, because they've launched GT3s there before, and plenty of other cars at Geneva. Porsche are Geneva fans, theoretically. But yeah, we're sort of all waiting to find out about this 4RS. Plenty of rumours that it's going to have a detuned version of the GT3 engine or just whatever's going on. Loads of aero, PDK only, all these different things, but nothing confirmed.
No.
And the spy shots have kind of died down, so...
Well, we definitely know it's coming. We just don't know when. It's just, you're right, it's just gone really quiet, and I've been eagerly anticipating that car as well. Like,
I know,
I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
I think it's going to be too much.
In terms of money or just the way
Money I would... Because Porsche never really do that, do they? It's always relatively reasonably priced, the Porsche product. I think too much on the road. Like, I mean, 3RSs is too much on the road.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. But... We'll see. The difference with a Cayman and a GT3 is, you know, the weight's a bit different, and just the way they're set up.
The balance of the car.
The balance of the car is different. So it'd be interesting to see if it is as hard as a 3RS, but I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. I think it's like a perfect size and perfect package.
I agree. When I was flying the GT4 today, I was like, oh, I'd love a GT4 Touring. And I went, that's the GTS. Yeah, it's literally the same engine and better suspension.
So yeah,
kind of makes sense. But yeah, you're so right. When you go on drives in your cars, it's the first thing you get out and you start talking about either each other's cars or your cars, or things that you could change or things you could do.
Yeah.
Today I was kicking myself about the all-wheel drive system, but then 3 days ago I was loving it. So it's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, putting them in different scenarios as well. And actually, we saw a 992 GT3 earlier. We've seen a few of them here, but we saw one earlier, and I said that actually, wouldn't it be good if we was all in one of them?
Oh my God.
That'd be so good.
If we had a PDK, PDK and a manual with a wing, and then a Touring. Those three.
Okay.
That, because you said, wouldn't it be good if we were all in them? It'd be a bit boring if we were all literally in identical cars. Three PDK GT3. So every different variant of the new GT3.
Well, it'd be good for the consumers.
The most pointless review ever. Literally.
They're all the same.
They're all exactly the same. So let's move on. Weird news from Lancia.
They're coming back?
Delta EV confirmed as brand goes all electric. Did we know that Lancia still made cars?
What that old thing?
Yeah, obviously not that old thing. They're bringing back the Delta in line with bringing back the Renault 5. You know, like we've spoken about many times on this podcast, brands bringing back iconic badges or styles.
So who owns Lancia now?
It's part of the Alpha. It's that whole Stellantis, Peugeot... FCA, is it?
Oh, right.
You know, that whole group.
Yeah.
So Stellantis aims to relaunch Lancia as a premium brand alongside Alfa Romeo and DS. But I think EV only, or at least the Delta, will be reinvented as an electric hatchback. under a bold growth plan to expand. Lancia. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about? This just made me think about it. It wasn't in my list of things to discuss, but we need to. F1s, sustainable fuels.
Ah.
The synthetic fuels, the biofuels, the synthetic fuels.
Ah.
That's a topic and a half, isn't it?
That, I mean, we can glaze over it, but I think that's an episode, mate.
Because I was about to say, interesting that, you know, with the fact that the world is starting to talk more about different energy sources, these brands are still focusing on electric in a big way.
Yeah.
And I was, we didn't talk about that, the whole F1 announcement. It probably is a whole episode, but let's just talk about it now briefly, because F1 announced that for 2030, I think it is, their aim is to use fully carbon neutral, or at least green fuels. That's likely to be synthetic fuels. Mm-hmm. Initially, it's going to be increasing the amount of biofuel in the mixture, and then, yeah, fully synthetic. We know that Porsche have got a huge amount of investment in synthetic fuels down in South America.
BMW have got involved.
I think Shell are also looking into it. There's lots of independent companies working on synthetic fuels. Biofuels are already in the pumps in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not talk about pumps in the UK. But
no.
So, you know, this is an ever-evolving thing, and what I really liked about Formula One's posts is they said a few interesting facts and stats. They estimate 1.8 billion cars on the road by 2030, and the expected percentage of those that will be electric is only 8%.
Yeah.
Now, that's still a ton of electric cars, and you've got to think, in and around the cities, it will make a lot of sense. I think by then, you won't be able to drive in most major cities around the world in anything but an electric car. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that.
Me too.
You know what? If congestion charge in London goes electric only, sure.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, for sure.
But as we know, and as we've discussed so many times, in parts of South America, parts of the UK, parts of Europe, all around the world.
Yeah.
Electric doesn't make sense. And it does not make sense for, what would you call it, commercial freight. So, you know, planes, ships, trucks, you know, there's a lot of that side of it, which, add batteries, the weight doesn't work.
No, it can't happen. It's not a thing. No chance.
Formula One has always been, motorsport in general, but Formula One's been a fantastic test bed for new technologies.
Yeah.
Flappy paddle gearboxes came from F1.
Yeah.
Even just hybrid technologies is coming down from F1.
Yeah.
So if there's ever a place to try and crack synthetic or sustainable fuels, this is it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Me too, yeah. And also a bit smug because it confirms what we've been saying.
So you're the EV evangelists and Tesla owners right now going to be, oh, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. Put a Tesla battery in a plane. So you're right. This probably does need a big episode. What I was going to do is I was going to try, just go big or go home, and lob in a request to Formula One for one of their spokespeople to come on and chat about this. Shell would be easier because I love Shell. I work with them all the time. That would probably be easier to get one of their guys to come on, or girls. Actually, an amazing woman based in Germany. Anyway, long story short. But I want to go in on the what is synthetic fuels? Mm-hmm. How could this work? Etc.
So there's several different fueling companies that get involved with F1 though, right? Have you got Shell?
Oh yeah, different teams have different partners. So Shell have a partner of Ferrari.
Yeah.
But then you've got ExxonMobil, I guess, with McLaren and
Petronas.
But Petronas are they fuels or are they like oils?
Are they not? Is it not fuel and oil?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know because we don't get Petronas in the UK, do we?
No.
So anyway, long story short, of course, there are lots of different
partners,
but it's F1 that are pushing this development of a synthetic fuel.
And like you said before, I think it needs to come from there because...
Yeah, well, we've got lots of questions, right?
Yeah, and not just that, like the technology needs to come from there because like you said, in general, Formula One is normally, or motorsport in general, is normally the test bed that transfers onto road cars.
Very good point. Sorry, I thought you meant the conversation needs to come from them. But
I think the conversation needs to come from them as well. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll try and line that up because we were excited, but we haven't done enough classic cars. We haven't done a lot of research into it.
You know,
that is our USP. Come to listen to Behind the Glass, the car podcast with no knowledge or research, but a lot of enthusiasm.
Well, we have lots of opinions.
Yeah, lots of opinions, lots of enthusiasm. And coming on to enthusiasm and opinions, because you're going to have a few. A Swiss firm, Officine Fioravanti, catchy name, is bringing back the Testarossa.
Why?
Because resto mods are the future, Tony. We saw that Aston a few days ago, that David Brown Aston something.
Did we?
Yeah, you were like, ooh, looks like blue Aston, looks like a DB6, something like that. And I went, no, because I don't like it. But resto mods are going to save the classic, and it's going to be what we turn towards, because as we keep saying, the new cars, Whilst, if you can get a 250 short wheelbase from GTO Engineering that works every time you turn it on, gives you all the emotion, all the character, and that's not even a resto mod, that's just a reinterpretation. Or
how much is that car?
Okay, so this is a 200-mile Ferrari Testarossa, supposedly.
200-mile-an-hour?
Yeah, 200-mile-an-hour. The firm says the resto mod project, named the Testarossa, is equipped with bespoke equipment upgrades, including improvements to the chassis, aero, and powertrain. Power comes from a modified version of the original 4.9-litre flat 12, mm-hmm. producing 510 horsepower for a claimed top speed of 201.
From a V12?
From a flat 12.
Right.
But it's the original, so they're, you know, they're not bunging in an 812 superfast engine in there. They're just trying to improve what was already there. 130 kilograms shaving of weight, and the price is yet to be announced or upon inquiry. Hence, 2.2 million euros.
You know, really?
I don't know.
It'll be a lot of money, won't it?
It'll be a ton of money. You know, that's the only problem with these resto mods. You know, I love an Alphaholics GTA. I love a Singer DLS. You know, but they're millions and millions of pounds. Every time they're millions of pounds.
Well, they just can't make enough of them, mate. That's the problem. And that's why cars in general are good value. Oh, actually, talking about value.
Go on.
Oh, no, I don't know if we can talk about it, can we? Where we went yesterday?
Where did we go yesterday?
I went for a drive in a car.
Oh no, no, we can. We're here with, it's the podcast audience. We always let them in on secret.
Okay, fine.
Go on. Yeah.
So
it's a video. I don't know if it's gone out. There's a video coming soon on this on the main channel. Again,
on the,
teaser.
On the yeah. Okay, fine.
Go.
So I drove Romy yesterday.
Yes,
but that's not. I'll go to the main channel. I don't want to talk about that. I'm not interested. But what I do want to talk about,
yes,
is, I was speaking to the dealer principal there while you was out filming, and he was telling me about prices of new Ferraris in France, and I was absolutely gobsmacked with their registration and tax fees for the next 2 years.
So I'm sure any French listeners will be fully across this, and maybe those of you that are into European car regulations are into this, but it was apparently announced a while ago, this heavy taxation on, is it a luxury car tax or a high emission car tax?
I would guess a emission car tax. It was a new car tax, and well, I mean, we were talking about Ferrari, so I don't know if it's a luxury tax.
It's meant, break it down, as I'm doing a little bit of research, break it down.
So basically, you'd have the value of the car, and then from next year. So in our country, it's about $3,000 to have new registration on a new vehicle. And that's obviously governed by emissions and value. And then you pay a tax on a new car in our country. Anything over $40,000, you pay like a £300 premium per year for the first 5 years of the ownership of the car.
Yeah.
In France, obviously, they don't have road tax. They have another scheme. This scheme is from next year, On a new supercar, can only go on supercar, because that's what I was told. The first year's tax is $40,000, and from the year after, it's 50. Goes on the price of the car.
This is a green tax. This is an emissions related
tax.
So I've just looked at it here. This is all about carbon dioxide emissions, etc. So yes, they can charge up to as much as 50,000 euros. But as you say, you found out more about these details, and it's a big. I remember seeing the announcement, but not quite realizing what it meant. And that is absolutely ludicrous.
And then he like throws a bombshell in, because then he says to me, the 296.
GTB,
which is coming out next year or the year after when it's coming, £800 because a hybrid,
because of the emissions. But this is the, so, and this is why I think the world is going in this direction, or why we're being forced to go in this direction, and manufacturers are being forced to go in this direction, because they know customers are not going to pay 40, 50 grand plus a year to drive around in an F8 Tributo. That's just not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So they're all going to have to really focus so extremely on emissions, or to go hybrid, or to go electric.
But that's only in France, mate. Different.
Oh, it's going to happen everywhere, mate.
Yeah, but different countries have different stipulations, obviously. So Germany will have a different. We've obviously got different as well. I don't know what they're going to do about places like England and Germany. I know they want people to go hybrid and stuff, but us as a nation are the biggest buyers of supercars in Europe, us and Germany.
Yeah.
So we're the We're third and fourth in the world.
Behind the US and
China.
China, okay.
Yeah. For supercars, I'm talking about supercars. So there's a lot of money rolling around there.
And money talks, I agree.
Of course.
But the global focus on reducing emissions.
Yeah.
Everyone says saving our planet, but saving our race.
Yeah.
Saving humanity. You know, that agenda is so top of the news agenda. I don't know what I'm talking about. My words aren't coming out. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that pressure will outweigh profits.
Yeah, fair. And then as well, you get places like here, which have a completely different way of tax. I mean, you have a registration fee here and it's like anything is like 100 quid. Doesn't matter the size of the car or whatever.
And as well, people are rich, and you know, if you want a car, it's just going to be the cost.
Yeah.
You know, road tax in the UK has gone up at times, become more expensive. ULEZ in London, you know, people get furious about having to pay 30 quid to take their older car. People still pay it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that people will somehow find a way to swallow it or find it acceptable.
Mad, don't it? Like when you come to different countries and you see how they operate around the world, like America will be different, and they're not allowed to have cars over 25 years, and then when they are, they're exempt of the tax, which is why we see the Japanese stuff go mad at the minute, because now they can be imported into America.
Well, that's it. So to clarify, America, certain cars that weren't able to be sold in America, things like early RS6s and stuff like that, after 25 years, they are allowed to be imported, because anything over 25 years old is allowed to then be imported. So yeah, that's why we suddenly see values go through the roof and stuff. So it is amazing. Like, even when I was doing my traveling, you know, Singapore, that the luxury car and the import tax is so insane that you could expect to pay like 350 grand for an F-Type.
Yeah.
It's mad. Yeah. Like, the whole world is mad. Yeah. So anyway, we discovered this yesterday. So any French listeners, apologies, or say any of you that kind of keep on top of tax situations in different countries for cars.
Yeah.
But for us, it was a big shocking moment for sure. So last little bit of...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Car news is this.
What is it?
The new BMW 2 Series Active Tourer. I think this could win the award for the most disgusting car ever made.
Some of it.
It's awful. What even is it? It's hideous, mate.
Well, you know, they make them anyway now, and they're actually, people love them.
Well, if they love them, they're blind. Stevie Wonder might like it, but it's a disaster, mate.
Why don't you like it?
It's hideous. It looks like a shoe. It's got the new grill, which, okay, fine, they're trying to... It's got the 7 Series grill on a car the same size as my hat. It's bulky. Like, what even is that?
It's
what does that compete with? A van? Transit?
It's a little 7-seater car.
It's disgusting.
It's a perfect family car, mate.
Get 7 seats in there, mate. No one's sitting in the back of that.
Well, you can't get 7 seats really in a Discovery Sport, but people put them in them.
Mate, there is not 7 seats in that.
They do an active tour, do a 7 seat.
No.
Yes, mate. That's the whole point of it.
Mate, you're not getting seats back there.
They do. They have little seats. That's the whole point of them. It's like a Vauxhall Sphera. It's that side. It's that size. You know what a Vauxhall Sphera is?
Nope.
Right. It's a little MPV.
Yeah.
Basically.
I'm sorry. There's no way there's seven seats in that car.
That's a little Swiss Army knife, mate. That's perfect. It's 30 grand or something. It's perfect for a family. Couple of little kids.
Is there a two series seven seater? The BMW Grand Tour is a seven seat MPV.
Yes.
Okay, but I don't know if the new one is.
The problem is
that one looks way bigger.
No, but all cars are bigger now.
No, that car that is the seven seater car is way bigger than the car that we're looking at here that's just been launched. Is what I'm saying. Look, that's like a little more like a hatchbacky thing. This looks like the things that Addison Lee's. You know what I mean?
No, they're not. I know they're the same size, mate. That's just the modern version.
Well, it's still hideous. Never seen one of those on the road in my life.
There's loads of them.
It's disgusting. There can't be loads of them. No one would buy this.
Okay, well they do. The thing is that you know you was picked up in a Range Rover by your driver when you was a kid. You didn't have cars like that.
No, but I don't. It's not a class thing. This is probably bloody expensive. This
you know
car.
How I was taken to school, didn't you? Wedged in the back of a van.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this still expensive, mate? It's a 30 grand car. It's not a cheap car. It's a premium luxury car.
But
it's hideous.
Who pays 30 grand for a car now? It's on PCP. To be 10% down and 300 quid a month.
This is not a derogatory situation. This is the fact that I think this is an ugly car. I'm not judging it on the people who's going to buy it or what their wealth status is. It's ugly.
But a Vauxhall Sphera is ugly.
I don't think it is that ugly.
It is.
I didn't know
it's
what it was 5 minutes ago.
It's supposed to be pretty. Vauxhall. It's supposed to do a job.
No, but you can also have form with function.
But some people don't care.
What is the Addison Lee? Ford Galaxy. What a looker.
But that's bigger.
Oh, it's bigger, isn't it?
A Galaxy's okay, bigger.
A Zafira is not good looking. Actually, the new Zafira is nice. Look at that one.
That's called a Touring.
That thing there?
Yes.
No, it's not. That's a used Vauxhall Sphera. What?
Touring, it's called. Vauxhall
okay,
Sphera
well, it's lovely.
Touring.
That is a pretty car. That is a pretty car. That's a pretty front end.
Well, that's bigger than a 2 Series.
Well, the 2 Series, no matter what size it is disgusting.
I think it's all right.
No, you do not. Because you're just saying it to wind me up.
No, I'm not. I just think that's... Who cares what it looks
so
like?
So if I called you up and said I bought one of those, you'd be like, well done, mate. Good car.
Well, if you just had two kids and you need to transport kids around, no problem. But don't worry about it. As long as it does a job for you, you not bought that car to drive around here in Monaco. You bought it to do a job. Take the kids to school. They're going to be sick in it. They're going to throw their Watsits all over the place.
Okay, if you had three children, you need a functional, practical seven-seater.
Yeah.
What would you buy?
Volvo XC90.
Okay, point proven. No one's buying that, mate.
But they are, because a Volvo XC90 is 70 grand. Not everyone's got 70 grand to buy.
I know.
Exactly.
All right, for some kids getting picked up in a Volvo.
Well, yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Lucky for some, eh? Bloody hell, mate. Not all of us can afford to get picked up in a Volvo.
This is what I'm saying.
You are, yes, but at that price point, what are the rivals? Come on. Here we go.
There's be loads of rivals.
But that's what I mean. Pick any of them over this disgusting looking car.
But that'll be a good car, mate.
Because,
it's just
I know
a
that
car.
I like BMWs. It's, mate, we like cars,
yeah.
Which we're about to come on to.
It's a car.
No, okay.
It's a tool for someone.
If cars are just cars, if they're just tools, why have you got a fancy special thing at home?
Because
why haven't you just got a Supra?
Because we like cars.
I like cars. I don't like this one.
But that's fair. But 85% of the population couldn't give a toss about cars. They just want
two
a car
series.
To go from A to B.
But as someone who likes cars, I am saying that this is hideous.
But you're the minority, not the majority, and BMW have to make a car for the majority.
Here we go.
They're not making a car for you, mate.
I'm fine. No, but they're making a car for people, and I'm not going to be the only person who thinks...
And that's why they'll sell loads of them.
It's a hideous one. Rivals. BMW X1. Okay, well, doesn't get much better. Renault Grand Scenic.
Yeah.
Or the Citroen Picasso. So, Renault Grand Scenic.
Yeah, that'll break.
That's a looker. Look at that. What a beautiful car. Mate, stylish. I would be happily be seen in that.
Over
happily.
A BMW?
Yeah, mate, over that 2 Series, 100%. Look at the swoops. It swoops. It's angular here. Much nicer wheels, much nicer headlights. What was the other one? Citroen Picasso.
But people don't care.
Mate,
they just want a car.
Care.
And normally, there's a lot of badge snobs in that 85%. There's loads of badge snobs, but they just want a car.
The Picasso, The Picasso, even the Picasso's better looking. Look at that. What is that thing?
It's the new Picasso. Look at that, mate.
That is a stunner. So I'm sorry.
It's going to break.
You're fighting for the sake of it now.
I'm not. I'm just saying that there's no awards for design, really, when you're selling a car en masse, because the people that are buying it do not care. They just want a car for a purpose that does exactly what it says on the tin.
I disagree.
That's what that car will do.
I disagree. I think most car buying decisions are led by the heart before the head, unless you're in a commercial. If you're commercially buying a vehicle, I think most decisions, there is something in your heart that leads you in that way. The badge, the looks, the whatever it might be, you don't just walk onto a forecourt and say, I want a car with four wheels, please. I'll take any. I don't care what it is.
Oh, no, you'll be surprised, mate.
Telling me that people turn up at Gravelwood.
No, they don't turn up at me. No.
Okay.
They don't turn up
at
Gravelwood.
Fine, so they turn up at Bob's Cars.
No, they don't
turn up. We sell specialist cars under 10 grand.
No.
Okay, where are they going?
They turn up at BMW.
Right, they turn up at BMW and say, right, I've got 7 kids and I want a car. And then the salesman can say, right, I'll give you that. I'll give you. Probably. And the salesman's right. You can have that X1. And they go, great, cool, thanks. They don't go, oh, no. That doesn't look so nice.
So the salesman will brief them and he will find what he thinks that will suit their lifestyle. That's a lifestyle car.
No, but you just told me that that's a functional car.
It's a functional lifestyle car. Lifestyle meaning you can go camping in it. You can take your dogs out in it. You can pick your kids up from school and go shopping in it.
What was the Fiat that had the bubble with the fog light on top of the bonnet?
The six-seater thing.
Yeah. Famously the world's most hideous car.
But people bought it.
They did, because I would have one because I think it's quirky. Or like a SsangYong. Name me one SsangYong that's good looking.
SsangYong's good now.
Oh, piss off.
But they were terrible, you're right. They were awful, because they used to be old Mercs, but they've actually got their act together now. They make some nice cars.
The thing is, a bit like Skoda, isn't it? The thing is, I just disagree with you. I think even if at some point, your car buying, because it's a lot of money for anyone, whether you're buying a car for $3,000 or $300,000, it's a substantial purchase in anyone's life, a car.
Correct.
And I think the majority, there is something that draws them. Now look, that Fiat Multipla. Some people were drawn to that because they like quirky, they like weird.
Yeah.
My sister bought that, what was the Jeep that she just bought?
Renegade.
You know, my mum doesn't want to talk to her because weird looking thing.
Nor do I actually, but
my sister loves it.
Yeah, she
absolutely
does,
adores it. Things are the coolest thing in the world. But that's an emotional connection. She just needs a car to drive to work.
Yeah.
She doesn't care anything about the car at all.
Correct.
Emotional connection.
So when she has children, your sister's going to buy one of them?
No, it's just a bit. No, mate. No, my sister would not buy one of those.
Why?
Because it's hideous.
Mate, I'm telling you, there's people that walk into BMW dealers, and you know what? It's women as well, in terms of the questions they ask. I'll tell you the questions they ask. Can I put my kids in it? Has it got ISOFIX? Does it have Apple CarPlay? Has it got parking sensors all round and a camera, please? That's all they care about.
Okay, I'm fighting you on this right now because there is amazing statistics about the fact that women lead the car buying decision in households.
They do.
And women have more emotional connections with all their purchases. Now, this is, you know, we're trying not to be very 2021 here and we're not making sexist assumptions, but this is just the truth, that women are more emotionally connected with things that they purchase. Men tend to have less investment or care in things. That we just go into a shop and say, yeah, I just need that. We don't look at reviews. But women do care about these things and how things look and feel, what it says about them. And therefore, I would fight that to the nth degree.
Okay, so I can tell you the difference between a man and a woman when buying a car. Women buy on thought and practicality because that's how they think. Men buy cars on impulse.
These are generalizations, by the way.
No, this is
no,
true.
No, these are
I see all the time.
No, but these are generalizations because there's always exceptions to the case.
There is always.
We have to say that. These are mass generalizations. Yeah. But I think, okay, fine. And I totally accept your experience and I totally accept you actually doing this day to day and you know what is happening. But at the same time, you are belligerent and you will fight me on this point to the death. And I do not know why you are not just accepting that that is an ugly car.
But I never said that.
No, you have. From the minute I said that that's an ugly car, you've started a rant about how it doesn't matter what a car looks like.
Doesn't.
It's about functionality.
Because you think it's ugly.
Yes.
One man's junk's another man's treasure, mate.
Agreed, of course. but I'm not wrong.
You think it's an ugly car.
Yes, I
but
do.
But the people that buy it, which will be lots of people, obviously won't think it's an ugly car, or they will agree with you and think it's an ugly car, but actually it serves a purpose, which is exactly what it's for. But what?
I still disagree with that point. So you're just saying, so I, what my point is, and I'm not going to ask you guys, the audience, because you're petrol heads. You're listening to this audience because you're into cars. And if I say to you, do you feel like a car purchase is an emotional purchase? Of course, you're all going to say yes, because we're car people.
And the people that buy cars from me, that's exactly what their emotional purchases is, very specialist. I don't deal in this market, but I know how this market works because I see it every day.
But I have three examples in my life.
Okay.
My mum, my dad, and my sister.
Okay.
My mum is the petrol head.
Yeah.
My dad and my sister could not care less about cars.
Correct.
My mum went from an Audi S5. She
lovely.
Had two generations and an A4 cab before that.
Yeah.
And she needed a practical car because she was going up and down to Cornwall a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She needed a practical, usable car that was good on fuel, that could bash around, have the dogs in it, blah, blah, blah. She picked an Evoque because it was an emotional occasion. She liked the look, the feel. My dad's had Range Rovers for a lot of time. She associated with it. She liked the compactness of it. She liked all these different elements.
But she likes cars.
She likes cars.
Yes.
But that's almost the worst in class, as we know, because Range Rover reliability can be very bad. There's lots of things that go wrong. Like, that's a bad class. But so emotional purchase, fine. She's the car person.
But they also sell a lot. Evokes.
Oh yeah, sell a ton.
Are perfect. I mean, women buy loads of them, and they do like, people normally buy Evokes. They do actually normally like the idea of cars.
Again, okay.
You know, they might not emotional be petrol purchase. Heads, but they like the idea of having a nice car. It's a nice car.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Two series active tour is not. So, but my dad... my dad and my sister couldn't care less about cars.
No.
My sister, we just talked about, Jeep Renegade. Before that, she had a Mini. Yeah. Emotional connection. Like, she's buying the cars because of what they represent. They're quirky. She likes the looks. They have character. They have personality.
Mm.
Two series active tour does not have any of those things. It doesn't. It does not. My dad, Range Rovers forever, because it was easy. It was comfortable. It's what he knew. It was over and over again.
Yep.
He considered Jeep Cherokee at one point. He considered VW Touareg at one point. Never changed because he just liked to stick with what he did.
Yeah.
As we know, well, we have said that Range Rover is best in class in a lot of ways. But, you know, there are things that are better nowadays.
For sure.
You could never tear him away because he had that connection.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is active tourer is a piece of poo. And you just have to let me think that.
You can think what you like, mate.
Thank you. Point over.
I'm going to put a hornet in your bedroom tonight. But
if you didn't know, there was a hornet flying around in this area a few days ago, and I literally nearly checked out of the Airbnb. So can you just accept that I don't like the active tourer? I think it's hideous, and I don't think people will buy it.
Well, I completely disagree with that. People won't buy it because manufacturers these days do not make cars that people don't buy. BMW, for sure, because they'd have done so much research into making that car and making it for a specific person, which is what that car's for. It's for a target. It's for a specific person that I cannot agree. I can agree with that you don't like it. No problem. That's your personal opinion. Who cares whether you don't like it? It's not for you.
No, fine. I agree. But it annoys me that of all the cars that we've ever discussed on this podcast, the one time you decide to really fight me on an opinion about a car, it's a two series active tourer.
Because your opinion is wrong. So I'm just challenging you.
Because you
can't
like
really
that
back
car.
It up because you don't
think
like
it's
it.
A pretty car.
No, I don't think it's pretty. I'm just saying it's not meant to be pretty. It's meant to serve a purpose.
I've just done a bit of research that's absolutely killed me and finished me off. And this will be the end of this topic.
Go.
So
it's the end of the podcast.
And we're closing down. Are you ready for this?
Channel no longer
this
exists.
This is absolutely a disaster. How many 2 Series active tours or grand tours have been sold? In 2016 alone, they sold 100,000 of them.
Right. No one buys them, apparently.
I'll go to bed. But to be fair, in 2020, in 2020 they sold 30,000. So it has been declining.
Yeah, but
100,000 in 2016, 85 in 2017, 68 in 2018, 55 in 2019, 30 in 2020.
What happened in 2020, mate?
Okay, so we're going to move on now.
No, tell the lovely people what happened in 2020.
It's been declining, though. There was a pandemic. There was no pandemic in 2018, and they dropped from 85,000 to 68,000.
Because what happened is that was probably a new model, and the first couple of years they fly, and then they drop off.
Okay, well, we will revisit this in 1 year's time. Can people remind us, please, 2021, to look at the sales figures for the 2 Series Active Tourer. Okay, let's come on to what was supposed to be our main topic for today.
Oh, that weren't it?
That weren't it. How much time we got left on the recording? We might have to pile through this because, yeah, we banged on about a 2 Series Active Tourer a bit longer. SD card's nearly full. So, we were talking. We went through Casino Square earlier. We saw SF90s, a couple of SF90s.
Yeah.
There was a 991.2 GT3. There was a 992 GT3. There was a 996 GT2. There was a 430 Challenge car, road legal 430 Challenge car. And we were all getting excited about different things. And this happened the same when we went to the Ferrari dealership a few days ago.
Correct.
I freaked out about a certain green car that you and Paul thought was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
Okay. So, what does it mean to be a petrol head? Because at the start of my YouTubing career, I used to get assaulted online quite a lot for not being a proper petrol, not being a true car guy.
Oh, he's a petrol head, all right, boys.
And we often, sometimes, get targeted by a very small part of the wider audience for saying, oh, you know, we don't know what we're talking about. We're not really into cars. You know, what we've said about the Gordon Murray T50 or whatever.
Well, we don't know what we're talking about, but we are into cars.
Yeah, we never know what we're talking about, and we don't do any research. That is, you're correct on that. But I know my friends, and before I got into YouTube, I've always liked cars.
Yeah.
But doing what I do now, spending time around people that I've spent time around, I'm way more into cars now than I was 10 years ago.
Well, I would say now the difference between 10 years ago and now is that you are an expert now, whereas you just liked cars 10 years ago. You're now in.
Yes.
You know, this is now your job. So you've become an expert in that field. So your look around cars has changed because of your experiences over the years.
And yeah, I've been educated. I've learned more. I've been keen to learn more. And all these different experiences I've had, etc. So yes, I'm in that world. Mm. But Paul Wallace, who is asleep, so we should whisper, has been in this world longer than me.
Mm.
And his appreciation for classics, as an example, has never changed. From day one, there's certain cars that he gets it cool, but you know, I could be stood by a lineup of 60s Ferraris and be like, oh my god, it's a 330, that's a 4-5, you know, I just go nuts.
Yeah,
whilst I think even you,
I'm the same as Paul,
over your head,
over my head, mate.
I mean, you actually dislike the older stuff, he doesn't dislike it, I don't think he doesn't really care. So, does that mean that you're not a petrol head?
No,
exactly,
because I have my reasons for not liking older stuff.
So, this is a thing which I think the internet sometimes feeds. So what does it really mean to be a car guy? Mm. If you can't heel and toe, are you not really a car guy? If you don't drive rear-wheel drive, are you not really a car guy? I think there's a simple answer, isn't there?
It's all crap.
Basically, anyone can be a car guy, right?
Absolutely. Anyone can have an opinion. Anyone can be a car guy. Even if your opinions are wrong, if they're right for you, that's good enough.
And I think, you know, Porsche is a prime example. Can you name each generation of the 911? 996, 997, 991.2, you know? No. But do you like... I know we can, mate. But do you like a 911? Yeah, of course you do. I think the thing is that sometimes online, especially social media has fed this, it's all too quick to show that I know more than you. I'm more intelligent. I know more about cars than you, blah, blah, blah. But what has been great in so many walks of my life or my career is how open people have been, saying, okay, you're not into pre-war cars? Well, let me just tell you about this and that. And I've gone, okay. And then by the time I've left that place, I'm like, oh my God, pre-war Rolls Royces are amazing. Okay, 2 weeks later, I've forgotten all that information. Yeah. And I've kind of moved on. But I think this is the whole thing, is that you can have all different types of car guys, car people, appreciate different things. We can go to a Ferrari dealership, there's three very different car people, and all get a kick out of different things going on.
Do you know what I've always picked up down the years as well? Is you only really ever take in what you're really interested in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone was to sit me down and talk about 60s cars, I'd say, I'd listen, I'd go in on them and then say, thanks for all that information. And it would go in one ear and out the other.
You'd probably just remember the values.
Yeah. No, you're right, mate.
That's what interests you.
I would remember selectively what I wanted to remember.
For sure.
Because it doesn't interest me. But if you're talking to me about something modern and something that I can relate to, then I'm all ears. And I'd like to think in that field, I kind of know what I'm talking about because it's what I like and it's what I do every day. So some people will disagree with me, no problem. But I normally, much like you, we normally do have something to back it up with because it's normally an experience that we've had, which is why we do this podcast as well. So,
and so where you're at with your life, your passion, your enthusiasm, how keen are you to learn about new or different parts of the car world? Like if somebody said to you, come down to a FIA drifting championship, what are your thoughts?
Not interested. Not interested.
Mate. No, which I get. I totally understand. I think I would go, but it's one of those things, and then maybe that's the difference, right? Yeah, I definitely get a buzz off anything with an engine, for sure, especially when it starts to get to a sort of motorsport level. But I also appreciate and understand your view on the car world, your experience in the car world. And I think, you know, the reason I wanted to talk about this is encourage the open armness. Sometimes in the car community, I just see that negativity still being there, that judgmentalness still being there. I put up a post a few days ago saying, which of the three cars that we've driven here would you pick? Asking my Instagram audience.
Yeah.
And it just kicked off in some of the comment sections with people just getting a little bit nasty again, a little bit judgmental.
Asking a question.
Only a question.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everyone within the car world is entitled, as you say, to different opinions, different enthusiasms, different. Some people are going to love Porsche, some people are going to hate it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that anyone is more or less of a car guy.
Of course
or
not.
Or girl, sorry.
No, and then, so and then what we always try to do, or what I always try to do, I try to have an opinion and it's opinion of something I've experienced, mm-hmm. so to which point I can back it up.
Or you've been told.
Or I've been told, but it's always, I've been told on good authority.
Or Renault Zoe's break, I've been told on good authority. What does that mean, Tony? I don't know, I've been told.
No, but in general, it's normally from experiences. Yeah, you will be the same.
Of course.
You're telling something from an experience. Sometimes with the internet and social media, these people are going in for no real reason. They're just going in on someone and it doesn't really make sense sometimes. I think, well, what? I don't really understand why you said that.
Yeah, spoiling for a fight. And as I say, it's that kind of internet mentality of I know more than you. I'm always more intelligent. I've done more research. I know more about this topic than you do.
But no problem. If you know more than me, then fair play. You know more than me. I mean, I couldn't give a toss, to be honest. I mean, I got a good job and that's all I really care about. I got a nice car, I got a nice house and I do nice things. That's all I really care about, really, to be honest.
Congrats to you.
If I don't know nothing, then I haven't got any of them things, have I? So no. I must know something.
You got Balenciaga clothes, something's going right.
No, they're not real.
No, I think I can see the SD card flashing, which probably means we've done our lot of time here. No. We had enough time to record the episode, but I can see it flashing, so we should probably wrap things up. But no, it's been a good episode. We didn't talk about anything that we wanted to talk about because we had a fight about a 2 Series Grand Tour for about half an hour. But we hope you guys have enjoyed it. Next week, Tony will be back in the studio continuing episodes as per normal. I hope this background has been a little bit more acceptable to those of you that were upset with last week. I couldn't do anything about the shorts, unfortunately. That was
hot.
Well, yeah, you know.
You know what? Just very, very quickly, I know the SD cards, but I know what I'm really interested in.
Go on.
That I always look from afar, rallying.
Okay.
If someone invited me, rallying.
Oh, there's a video.
Oh, mate, honestly, I think they're unbelievable.
We could get into that. We could go and buy a classic car and go classic rallying. Then we're just combining two worlds together.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so catch up with us soon to hear more about our classic rallying championship. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Grohl Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms. And as I say, we'll be back in the studio next week, carrying on as per normal. Sadly, our road trip will be over, which will be devastating. But anyway, life goes on. We'll catch up with you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.